If you would take your Bibles tonight and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Very appropriate passage for us to look at tonight. And might just go through a little portion of it tonight because it's so significant. And I don't want to pass over this quickly. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Again, reminder of what is taking place in chapter 1 as Hannah has prayed for a child and God has blessed her with that child and she has promised and committed to give that child back to God. And so she takes that youngster back to be able to serve the Lord there in the temple. And in these verses, verses 1 through 9, we have a prayer of Hannah, a prayer of thanksgiving. And a very appropriate time. Don't always know how these messages will work out and what will be on what night, but what an appropriate time to look at these verses. And to be able to think along the lines of thanksgiving, and really to even insert this parenthetical thought. You know, when Hannah prayed this, she wasn't praying it with the thought in mind that one day this will be in the scriptures. She didn't pray it knowing that one day this conversation that she was having with the Lord would at some point in time be recorded in the holy word of God and be something that you and I would read from in generations to come. It really does speak to the authenticity and the inspiration of the Word of God, for this would have been a private prayer that Hannah shared with Almighty God, and yet God gave insight to the author of 1 Samuel to be able to record it on our behalf. And as I read this prayer, I'm humbled from the standpoint of whether or not any of my prayers would ever be included in the Scriptures. And as you consider what Hannah says here, it speaks so much to her relationship with the Heavenly Father, her walk with the Lord. Let's read these verses together and keep in mind that Hannah is praying this before God. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of the heaven, shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." Hannah's prayer had been answered, and so she takes the opportunity to thank God for all of his goodness. I think, I believe that this prayer sounds much like those of the psalmists. And as I read these verses, I think to myself, here's a lady that is so closely walking with the Lord that it so much resembles what those that wrote in the Psalms have also said about Almighty God. It's just that flavor. You know, there are so many different prayers in the Word of God, and I'm thankful that God reveals them to us. I'm thankful for those shortened prayers. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. A shortened prayer, but oh, how much that thief on the cross said when he prayed that to Almighty God. I'm reminded of the prayers of, at times, deliverance. As they sang those songs in the departure from Egypt, and they rejoiced in God's deliverance there, I'm reminded of the prayer of Elijah when he prayed there on Mount Carmel and declared that he was the living and true God. I'm reminded of the prayer of Samson as he found his way, though his eyes had become blind, as he found his way to those pillars and prayed that final prayer before Almighty God. We find a myriad of different prayers in the Word of God, but this prayer of thanksgiving stands out. This wonderful lady says so much. I want to just cover tonight the first attribute of Almighty God that she covers and look at that, consider it, and of course make application tonight as we consider this prayer of thanksgiving. Would you notice, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, that God is the unchanging, solid foundation for mankind. Now, my friend, I don't know about you, but at times I am disheartened and disenchanted with what the world tells me is a solid foundation. They tell us time and again, we need not fear because this entity is in control, and yet in saying it, I become more fearful. They say you need not worry because we've got this all under control. It seems as though around the globe there's nothing but political mess. There's nothing but wars and rumors of wars in nation after nation. And yet in the midst of all that's going on in the world, there is one place we can go and find a solid foundation, a solid rock, if you would. And Hannah declares here in verses 1 and 2 that God is that solid foundation for all of mankind. And again, we'll put a point of application on the end of that in just a moment. But look at verses 1 and 2 again, if you would. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." I wish that I could influence the young people so thoroughly that they would take what I'm about to say for the truth that it is. Young people, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that does not change. He is the sure foundation. Lay your foundation upon Almighty God. I wish that each of us as adults would trust God as He is that unchanging rock. I'm reminded of that story. It's a wonderful story. It's, in fact, so great that children's songs have been made after the story in Matthew chapter 7. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. What a tremendous conclusion that we have there in that Sermon on the Mount. And as the Lord Jesus Christ lets everyone know, listen, if you've heard the message, everyone's going to depart from here. And what's interesting is that they all had things in common. They were all going to be building something. Everybody here in the auditorium is building a home. Everybody here is building up their family. Everyone in here is building things. And then the Lord says, every one of you is going to face storms. Wouldn't it be great if we could tell the young people today, hey, your life will be a wonderful path of sunshine. but we do not know the storms that may arise. They were all going to be building. Everybody that heard the Lord Jesus Christ would be investing in building. Everybody that heard the Lord Jesus Christ would in fact face storms. But there would be a visible difference in those that listened to him and those that did not listen to him. And it would come as a result of the storms. And the Bible says those that built their house upon the sand, their houses would go flat. They would be destroyed. But if my house, my life, my endeavors, my energies, my investment, if all of it has been built upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it will stand firm in the most difficult of storms. Our lives were created by God, and he intends for us to have a relationship with him. However, my friend, he does not force that relationship upon you. If a man will make a wise decision, he will build on a solid foundation. Young people, build your life upon the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your marriage upon the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your home on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tragically, the storms are hitting many in the world today, and their homes are in a mess. They're in disarray. Because in fact, their home has been built on a shifting sand. God is the unchanging solid foundation for mankind. Would you hold your finger there in 1 Samuel and turn with me for just a moment? Psalm 40. Would you flip over there real quick? Psalm 40. I want to show you just two different sections as we reflect on Jesus, our rock, Almighty God, the rock of our number one salvation. The Bible says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. As the sea is tossed, as that river is raging, there is something peaceful about the opportunity to be planted on a rock. It can happen for you tonight if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight's the night of salvation. David speaks to that matter. He has set my feet upon a rock. But now turn with me, if you would, to Psalm number 3. Psalm 3. In Psalm 3, David is in the midst of running from the kingdom. He is running away from his son Absalom. He and his companions, those faithful companions, are dismissing themselves from Jerusalem. David did not want to see Jerusalem destroyed in a battle. And so he dismisses himself, puts his faith and confidence in Almighty God and working out the circumstances and so forth. And I've looked at this psalm on a number of different occasions, but what a statement as David looks up to Almighty God in verse number 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Verse number 3 of Psalm 3. This is the nature of our God. He sets our feet upon a rock. He is that shield. He is that buckler for me in time of need. He is the only one that I can rely upon. Psalm 18 in verse number 31, the Bible says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Psalm 62 in verse number 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 94, verse number 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Coming back again to 1 Samuel. There is none holy as the Lord, verse 2. For there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. One of the things that I've noticed about our current president is that he always speaks in superlatives. Maybe you've not noticed that yet. Maybe you'll start to notice that now as you listen to him speak. He always speaks in superlatives. What does that mean? He always says that something is going to be the best. He always says this is going to be the most. This is going to be the strongest. This is going to be, and he'll use superlatives almost on a daily basis. You say, is that bad, Pastor? Well, I'm not in his position, so I don't know if I would always use those same superlatives or not. But do you know, my friend, that there is one that can use superlatives? And he, in fact, is worthy of our confidence. And the one that can declare greatness, the one that can declare stability, the one that can declare strength in the midst of weakness is our God, the Rock. Now, tonight, I'm not quite certain of all that's going on in the recesses of the individual homes of FBT. You say, well, Pastor, that's a good thing. I'm glad you don't know. You know what? I'm glad I don't know either. I probably wouldn't get much sleep. But you know, as everything around us rages, and at times appears to be against us personally, there is a place for us to go and to find refuge. It is the Rock, Almighty God. Pastor, my home is in distress. And my friend, God is the place to turn to. Pastor, our finances are in distress. God is the place to go. All that I thought was success is being taken away. My friend, find your strength, your stability, your energy in Almighty God. You say, but I want it on my timetable. Do you know, Hannah could have worked out a different timetable. She could have thought along the lines of everyone else, and as she was probably persecuted and probably faced a number of unkind remarks. In the end, Hannah declares her understanding of God's hand being at work through the entirety of her time. Speaking with a friend of mine over the week, and this is so true for every one of us, it's an illustration that is used in the book Changed Into His Image, Brother Jim Berg. And he uses the illustration of our view versus God's view. We've traveled many miles over recent days and coming and going. And we have that dashboard view. I've got my hands on the steering wheel and I see what's immediately ahead of me. And so I make adjustments depending upon what's going on. We made an adjustment on our way home last night. We saw all of the red that was flowing on 81, or actually not flowing. And so we diverted ourselves to 29 and came up there through Culpeper and so forth. I've got a dashboard view. I can see what's immediately in front of me. But I serve an infinite God that doesn't have a dashboard view. He has an all-encompassing view. And he declares to us, trust me. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. I am the rock that is certain in a very uncertain time. When everybody else is wringing their hands about how it's all going to come to pass and what's going to happen in the next election cycle and what's going to happen if so-and-so gets this position and so-and-so gets that position. And you know, not one time has my God wrung his hands. because he is an unchanging God in the midst of an ever-changing world. So again, I ask you, do you see it as Hannah sees it? In the quietness of the moment, if you were to bow your head, would you pray something like she prays here in verses 1 and 2 and say, God, I see it. You are my rock. We give thanksgiving tonight as we acknowledge, as Hannah did in her prayer, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to reflect and remember the Lord's shed blood, his death on the cross. And I pray that we would go forth with grateful hearts, that we would express gratitude to you on a continual basis for all that you've done. And Lord, I turn my attention to the folks tonight. It is quite possible, if not altogether certain, that there are people tonight sitting before me that have a heavy heart. Maybe there are those that need to come back to that place of certainty, that rock which cannot be moved. Maybe they've been building their life outside of the rock of Jesus Christ, and they need to make that right tonight. Father, maybe it's just a reminder for all of us that no matter what we're going through, God, in his infinite wisdom, sees things so much better than we do. And while I'm observing it from a dashboard view, and whatever the next event might be, you see the beginning from the end. And I can trust you. This is no significant little rock or insignificant little rock. This is a significant boulder that we cast our life upon. I pray for the young people tonight. Pray that they would learn this early in life, that they would trust your will, that they would plant their feet upon that rock and that they would build on that rock, that when the storms come, that they might be stable. Again, Father, you know the homes. You know the things that folks are facing. We pray, Lord, the husbands and wives would build their marriage upon the rock, that families would build their home upon the rock, that we would build our finances upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would build our investments. Lord, I pray that we could with one voice sing your praise as we reflect on this fact, that you are God, and beside you there is none else. Thank you for recording for us this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you stand to your feet with me tonight? I want to have a time of invitation. And I want to just close the service tonight with this song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Again, maybe there are those that just have a matter that they want to pray over. We just want to concur with Hannah and say, yes, Lord, you are that rock. I want to build my life. I want to build my endeavors. I want to choose your path. I want my life to be on that solid foundation. The altar, of course, is open, and you're more than welcome to come and commit a matter to the Lord. But if nothing else tonight, would you take this time to pray? And just say, Lord, I want to do right by you. I understand that you are the rock. You are the stability. And I want my all to be built upon that rock.